Hi there. Could you guys just introduce yourselves?
Sure. My name's Kara Stone.
My name's Kate McKnight.
Okay, so I'm here interviewing Kara Stone and Kate McKnight for the Screen Perfect Game Jam technical portion, and I'm taking the notes in my nosebleeder book because I don't have proper notebooks. So I get a little bit nervous about interviews because I haven't done a lot of them and I don't have very many questions for you today, and it's a little bit free form. And I guess I was just going to ask you, like, what you were expecting out of No Jam and out of Screen Perfect. Like, when did you first hear about it? It's a lot of questions kind of in one. Like, when did you hear about it? What were you expecting? What drew you to jamming with this? What is the thing on your forehead about your foreheads? They're both wearing, like, crescent moon things, so.
I heard about it on Twitter. I think Henry tweeted about it. He said that I'd be into it because it's an FMV thing, so people with video and animation particularly, they were gearing for it, and I had a video background, so I was really excited. I had no idea that it was a specific program that was made by you.
Okay.
I didn't know that it was a dual screen thing.
Okay.
I just went in, so it's like video, jam, whatever, it'd be fun.
Okay.
Did I miss the question?
Nope, you didn't. Okay. I was just sort of asking what you were expecting when you came to the jam, and Kate, what were you expecting?
I know D&D mostly through Kara, and she's shown me her stuff and been excited about the program before, and I had tried to get into the one in June and didn't, so when this one came up, and I also have a video background, it seemed like a good place to start with DMG.
Okay. Yeah. So the video thing was appealing to you, you both have experience in it.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm not totally sure how to ask researcher questions, but
I
like,
just give her.
I'm not sure how you're supposed to do this. They don't train me in interviews, but I guess I'm kind of interested in like what the friction between you and software and game making has been historically. Because Kara, you have experience with game making, and Kate, I imagine that you are interested in it, but haven't had a lot of experience in it. And I'm sort of, my thesis is a bit about friction and technology. So I guess I'm curious what your interest in this sort of thing is.
Yeah. I only used Game Salad.
Okay. What is Game Salad?
It's a game making program, I think similar to Game Maker, but more geared for Mac users.
Okay.
So things are like very drag and droppy and pretty intuitive. Like, I didn't find it very troublesome to learn.
Okay.
Still don't like totally get it, but you know. I don't know. I feel like once you learn the software, it's not really that big of a deal.
Okay.
And things aren't that different. I mean, some things are, Game Salad wasn't great for some things that I wanted to do, so I did kind of have to tailor my game around it.
Okay.
But, I don't know. That happens all the time.
All right. And how is the technology today influencing your software, your creative practice?
It influenced it a lot because we didn't know coming in what exactly we're going to be doing and what we could do. So we didn't know what software we'd be using. So we came in without really having a specific project in mind.
Okay.
And then through listening to the talks, we kind of developed the idea around what was being
And did
developed.
You develop that today or like through the course of the week?
When you were talking on Saturday.
during your talk.
So during everybody's talk, we learned more and more about what we could do and what other people have done. We developed it more through scribbling to each other and then on breaks talking.
Awesome. So can you tell me a little bit about your project?
Sure. It's called Cyborg Goddess.
Okay.
And
very
it's
direct.
About the kind of little life choices that you have to make as a cyborg or a goddess.
Okay.
You know, the difficulties of being one or the other. Basically, it comes from Jasper Puar, who's an affect feminist theorist. She's great. She wrote a piece about Donna Haraway's. Like, Donna Haraway said, I'd rather be a cyborg than a goddess.
Yeah.
Because it is, you know, something that comes up that women have to kind of choose to do. Like, do they want to have to be a techie cyborg person with, like, no emotions, or do they have to be a goddess with lots of emotions and lots of passion and very earthy and, you know, both have, like, really disturbing narratives that suck. So why not be both a cyborg and a goddess? Why have to choose between the two? So we went into making the game where you see the difficulties and the good things about being a cyborg god or goddess, and then you slowly become both cyborg goddess.
Okay, so what's your background, Kara?
Hello, I am white.
I know. Yeah. But okay. Aside from narratives of race, which are somewhat outside, I believe, my capacity as a person to include in my thesis in a meaningful way, given the many politics around accessibility and race.
Yeah.
What I'm actually asking, though, is, I mean, Cyborg Goddess and Donna Haraway, that's some pretty intense theory.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering how you came to read that sort of thing,
sure,
and whether that has influenced your, you know, your career with technology. Like, what is your background with technology and your background with theorists?
My background with technology is, like, my dad is super nerdy.
Okay.
And so he taught me, like, video editing software because I was into movie making when I was younger. And basically movie editing because that's all I wanted to do. And then did film stuff. And now other stuff. But now I'm in grad school doing my master's in communication and culture.
Uh-huh.
And I talk about different mediums, like art mediums, but I guess that's technologies, and their influence on emotions, like affective experiences with technology, basically from a feminist queer theory perspective.
Okay.
So
that's where your Haraway background comes in then. All right. So when you heard about the video software, were there features that you were immediately interested in, or were you willing to just sort of accept what happened and then go with it?
Accept it.
You're just sort of accepting. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've barely tried it out yet. You know,
yeah.
So
well,
when I first saw it, I was like, it looks like a very clean and easy thing to use.
Okay. I think that maybe I might have to come back to you and, like, ask about it once you've started working with it, though. But one of the questions that I've got down here is kind of, like, what was your group process to decide on this narrative? And, like, most of my questions are really, or most of the things I'm interested in are really about how you're using the technology and where your friction points are.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, how your group process worked and, like, what you go through to make a narrative. And how that works normally in a video game system for you, as versus how that works with you with Screen Perfect.
Right.
So I kind of, if you wouldn't mind just sort of maybe comparing and contrasting your two experiences, that would be great.
Yeah. I can't think of much as of yet.
Okay.
I mean, I know right now the only thing that I'm finding is, like, Game Salad is very drag and droppy.
Yeah.
So you can drag things, but this is, like, copy a public link.
Yeah.
Pasting, and, like, that's kind of tedious. But in terms of, like, making it for I don't know. I
So did you guys, like, get together this week and work on things? You're both wearing elaborate headpieces.
Elaborate?
Composed of wire and tinfoil. So I imagine you're still filming today, but...
No, this is just to help us work.
We're actually, our game is very, very light on video components.
Yeah.
It's primarily, like digital animation and digital drawing.
Okay.
Composite over a video background.
How does that work?
So basically how we divided it up is Kara shot video off her computer screen of space.
Yes, of space.
So we have sort of a pan movement image of the stars, several versions of that. And then I'm doing really, like, sparse sort of digital collage and animation with transparent backgrounds that's on top of that.
Okay.
And then I'm bringing them into Final Cut and making them into the individual clips.
Yeah. All right. And What are one of those, what are some of the advantages of that working practice for you? Like, how does that work for you, and are there other models that you would rather be using?
No, I love this. I love this model. It's super fun.
Okay.
I like doing video stuff, and like the combination of animation and collage and video is also a pretty easy aesthetic. Like, it's not too hard to make.
But it's very visually distinct.
Yeah, it's visually distinct, and it also, you know, if we were just shooting video, I don't know.
Also, I didn't want to do something.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, exactly. Do something a little less.
Are making movies your day job, or is that just?
No, that's just from film school.
Yeah, she's a pretty recent grad.
Recent grad. I graduated. Well, I was the year behind Kara at York. You're both at York. For undergrads, and then I graduated June this year. That can't be right. May, whenever school ends.
May, yeah.
So it's not my day job. I sort of left film school disenchanted.
Okay. Yeah. I left it, and I was an editor.
Okay.
An assistant editor. But I still like using Final Cut and doing editing things, so
yeah.
It's kind of parts that I like a lot. Without being, like, super narrative. Like, I think that's what... I didn't want to do something with, like, humans. Because I didn't want to make it, like, too narrative-bodied.
All right.
Yeah.
What's the appeal of a non-narrative work?
It's better. I mean, it's still, like, narrative-y. I just mean... Because it isn't narrative, what we ended up doing. And it did, I came in not wanting to do something this narrative, but it kind of just ended up working with the story.
Well, it is a little bit linear.
Okay. Yeah.
I guess I asked about features, because some groups have asked me immediately for an extensive technological intervention in the software already,
mm-hmm.
probably because the software is raw. And you're using a DIY aesthetic, and you're also not super involved with the technical end of it. So I mean, I'm probably going to have to come back and like talk to you about that when you've had some interaction. But what are some freezing points you find in the software you use in your normal working practice?
Freezing points?
Places where it's hard or where it took a lot of learning to like get involved in things. Like, have you? I'm trying not to ask any leading questions.
Yeah,
I just
yeah.
sort of want to open this up for discussion. Is that, like, you both went through a very technical degree. I don't know how comfortable you are with software. You really like Game Salad, but you're not a programmer, correct?
Yeah, no. And I don't know coding.
Right. Yet film is important and quite technical, and you use it to express stories, I guess, narratives, which are generally prescriptive. And so I was just wondering if, like... There and you mentioned that you really like Final Cut Pro, but I was wondering kind of what you like about it as versus one of the other software packages, or like, do you really love Adobe? Do you think OS X is fantastic? Do you have strong feelings about that?
No, I think that they're basically all the same with minor differences.
Okay.
You know, in terms of like editing software, even iMovie, it's like you can do the same thing. People make a really big deal about these tiny software differences, but.
Okay.
You kind of end with the same
thing. Level, like
yeah, exactly.
Personal gaming and stuff.
Yeah.
The software.
Not
it's
a big deal.
The point.
I mean, I could. I don't know iMovie. That's why I'm using Final Cut because
yeah.
I know it well.
Okay.
Just because other people, you know, that I've worked for have been using it.
Okay.
But you know, I liked Adobe just fine, and I liked iMovie.
Are there ideas that you find easier to compose in one area than in another?
Yes. I can do. I find it hard to do animation stuff because it feels really or scattered because I can't have it all in like one program. Even
yeah.
if I'm doing like a series of images, it's like they feel too separate.
Yep.
And it's much easier to like look at them in a software that has them all together. It's the same
yeah.
with Game Salad. It's like everything's kind of out of it.
Okay.
And I just want it to be in it.
How do you reassemble your ideas then?
Folders.
Okay.
Little mind maps.
Yeah.
Sequences where you just rearrange things in a line.
Yeah.
In it.
Okay.
I find that really helpful. I guess also because I've been using cutting software for so long that it's that kind of look that's really easy to do when you can just move it like this.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good. Kate, you are also allowed to chime in at any time.
Oh, yeah. I'm
you're, just, you're just sort of nodding and working. Okay.
No, I'm just trying. Like, I agree on all those points, basically. And so far, I haven't interacted with your software at all.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
So you have this massive chart on the wall behind you.
Too massive.
Huge.
It's normal size.
It is 9 points with like many ABC exits for each room.
Yeah.
10 points.
But they all lead to the next one.
Yeah,
it's not like, you know, different options with different endings. It kind of just goes like this.
Okay. Kara has made a gesture with her hands like a series of hourglass lumps. If she'd been more extreme, we could definitely sue her for sexual harassment. It would be fantastic.
Yeah. Put on a grosser face.
Yeah, that face.
Yeah, I got
that. That was disgusting.
This is how I'll
describe
this
face.
Kate bit her bottom lip.
Kate just made the most obscene face. I'm shocked. I'm shocked and appalled.
Okay. Well, I guess that's pretty good. I will have to remember to come back to you guys
when you've started to engage with the software itself.
We should mention that we made, because we can do it, as you mentioned, we do it on tablets or phones for the control screen.
Yeah.
We made this thing in particular to be a cyborg.
They have produced an armband to hold your phone so that you can have your control device secured to your arm.
So you're like a cyborg goddess. So you have goddess moons, but you also have your
This falls firmly in line with current wearable technology so that you can wear your arm panel and control the video from a worn device instead of one held in your hand. Forward this to Izzy Colbitz Campbell for her work on cyborg arm technology.
This also is why we're wearing the headpieces. Yes. Part of the component of our game, and it also factors into the DIY aesthetic, is we're dressing up people as they're playing it.
Okay.
So it has this whole very like crafty, at-home feel that extends beyond the screen.
And all right. Also somewhat identification, you know.
Yeah.
Not that you... Because the character's image changes all the time, it is more like... You are playing as it.
You might not be aware of this, but iBeam down in New York just finished doing a project with Kao, I don't know, who did her entire MFA on the embodiment of the player as Avatar through costume.
Cool.
And she had an interactive gauntlet armband.
Awesome.
So I feel like you guys are working within an established field, which some people freak out about that when they're like, oh my god, my idea, but actually I think it's really useful when... the moment comes that an idea springs up like poppies across a wide field.
No,
like,
I love it.
You don't know where it comes from, but then everybody's doing it.
I never would have thought that we were the first person to think of putting a phone on an arm.
Oh, I just thought that maybe you might like to go and have a look, because their gauntlet was really impressive, and it's making it into a lot of things right now.
And gauntlet,
it's all spikes.
Great word.
And
so you've been saying
gauntlet.
Armband.
Yeah. I said bracer once, I think. Yeah.
No bracer, it's good.
Well, technically a gauntlet is a forearm cover with a glove.
Yeah.
So there you go. This is much more a bracer.
Yeah. That is a bracer. You are correct.
I high-fived myself.
Kate just high-fived herself for knowing what the difference between a bracer and a gauntlet was. I would like to point out that they are still wearing the Sailor Moon hats. Headbands.
Pulsar glitz.
I stand corrected.
Can we fix your moon, please?
I stand corrected. Okay, so, Kate, what is your... Do you have a similar theoretical background to Kara, or...?
Kind of. I am not in school right now. I am planning to go back to school. If I did, it would be probably more about the, like... I don't know. It's kind of tough to summarize when you're outside of school. Like, I don't have a thing I'm majoring in. My interests trend more towards...
A lot less feminist theory.
I actually, like, I'm a big fan of things that are hyper-narrative and choice-driven and the artifice of it. I would say, like, in terms of theory stuff, I am... more inclined towards like fan culture and how we interact with media, and how media shapes personality and interactivity.
So this game is more an experiment for me in learning programs I don't know, and I have sort of an arts background before the film background, but not really, so it's exploring that as well.
What programs are you chasing?
Everything's in Photoshop right now. I was going to animate in Flash, but then everything's so simple it wasn't worth the export for me. So all of my components are basically digital collage and drawing in Photoshop is what I've been doing. And in terms of like technical hurdles, all of it is just the typical within constraints of a program and learning what a program is capable of doing and how I can use it to my advantage. But it's tough because I consider myself a fairly technical person and I'm not particularly intimidated by programs. So if something's not working, I like to find a workaround, or I don't know, I don't find it hard to operate within.
It is somewhat upsetting when you have an idea and you're kind of set on it and then you can't do it because of the program. Like, there's this balance of where, like, it can make you more creative because you think of a way around it. Like our armband, like, we didn't originally think of, like, the dual screen as a phone. But then there are some times where I'm like, I really want to do this, but the software is not letting me.
Do you have examples?
It has
from,
not happened.
Do you have
specific
for this one? Examples?
Yeah. I remember wanting to, in the Junicorn game, type out, have a user type something and have it display, and it was not for that.
AngularJS can do that for you, and it's quite easy to learn.
Good.
Like, ludicrously easy to learn. And actually, that's part of what we're doing with Daimyo, is people can do dynamic updates in game engines going forward.
And we did ask you originally if there was going to be gestures.
Yes, there are.
But we were like, not gestures, right. And that's also totally, you know, fine.
Right. Suggestions, gestures. Well, I'm keeping track of the suggestions because that's what features did you immediately want in
exactly,
your software.
Yeah.
Gestures. And why did you want gestures?
Just a fun way to interact.
Yeah, kind of, it would just make it more, the whole avatar thing, like embodying the avatar that you mentioned earlier, if we were performing the same gestures the character theoretically would be, it would be another step of
identification. Because right now we're like pressing
identifications.
Buttons.
Yes.
Instead of like doing the things.
All right, I think that's everything for me. When you guys get started after maybe half an hour, when you have a game to display, I'd like to re-interview you and like have you be like, well, that was disarmingly easy. We don't have anything to say. Like, my ideal interview for the software is more or less, well, I can't tell you.
Yeah. Surprise us later.
We'll do it. We'll be your ideal.
It's fine. Yeah, yep, it's fine.